Welcome to the Sunday show on the first Sunday of winter. And welcome to Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement and Biz News favorite. Morning, Neil.
Yeah, good morning to all our favorite Sunday show listeners. Looked like a little battle scarred today, but you know, this is the chemo. This is what chemo does. So my apology. I look like I've been in a scrum or six, but I'm here. We are fighting and battling on. And what a day, you know. Sad week, because if I may start, would like to recognize the passing of the well-known Darren Scott, who himself has been fighting cancer for such a long time. And, you know, Darren, I grew up with Darren's voice on the radio, and yeah, RIP to him. And then obviously, Chris, a very, very sad moment hearing of a very close friend of ours, the passing of the late General Andre Lincoln. That was very close to me, a lot of history with me. And I'd like to send my condolences to Shalina and obviously her family and all.
From us to Neil, to you, your brother in arms. I know it's been a hard week for you. Let us go to President Cyril Ramaphosa's defense of the Kill the Boer song.
Yeah, Chris, sorry, there seems to be a delay on our line. But let me tell you, let's take a couple of steps back on this matter. You know, Chris, I spoke on a TV show, which I won't pronounce here today. It's not been revealed yet, the time and the date. And I want to start off by this. Let's call him an individual. Let's call him a person. Well-known person in the public, to the notoriety of an author, who in an interview when I was sitting there blatantly told me that Cyril Ramaphosa is not at all corrupt. Now, Chris, you could hit me with a starling feather off my chair when this person said it in such a factual manner in this interview that I actually nearly believe you. And that made me think that I needed to understand that there are, if one person thinks that that is so, that there should be many. And I wanted to start off by then looking at this and going, Chris, although he has never been appeared, he's never been charged, or he's never been put in front of a court of law on the basis of corruption like Jacob Zuma is, and I want to go back, that there's something that I don't think we as the public remember. And if we don't, here it is on the Sunday show. In 2009, Jacob Zuma had to watch his financial advisor, Mr. Shabir Sheikh, be sentenced to 15 years by, at that stage, I remember, Judge Hilary Squires, for a fraudulent and corrupt action from Shabir Sheikh. But what was incredible, Chris, and this is where my argument started, people forgot that in the pronouncement, it's in her judgment. I went to read it again last night. In her judgment, Judge Hilary Squires says, undoubtedly in her judgment, not her opinion, her judgment, that Jacob Zuma had a corrupt relationship with Shabir Sheikh. It is a judgment. So now we move on and ask ourselves, Cyril Ramaphosa was his vice president. Cyril Ramaphosa was the deputy president of this country under that period following that Jacob Zuma then became the president, no matter whatever he went through. And the question, Chris, was from my side. Did he know? Well, In his own admission, Cyril Ramaphosa says at the Zondo Commission that he will agree that the ANC is accused number one. Chris, of what? Accused number one of what? And for the president to sit and say that I hereby acknowledge that the ANC, the party I am the president of, is accused number one of looting and of corruption. Then the person that is at the helm, the person that is steering such organization, must take the knee and take the fall, mustn't he? So I wanted to be very clear that no matter what it seems to be, the prognosis, the fight, the evidence that is put in front of Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, that he's going to either avoid it, steer away from it, or dodge the bullet. And they are going to protect him at all costs, where they are not protecting Jacob Zuma and still going for him, which is the right thing. Now come to this thing called kill the farmer, kill the bullet, where he says to Donald Trump unequivocally in that circus show of the Oval Office that he is going to say to him that he does not agree with us, his party does not affiliate to this, and that he is absolutely against it. That's what he says. He even goes as far as having the people like John Steenhuisen and the, I don't know, bullet-dodging Teflon Mr. Johan Rupert, who sleeps with open doors in South Africa, support them by saying, but that's a small party, they are the bad ones. Now, Chris, he comes back to this country and he has to do something. And what does he do? Nothing. He still does nothing. He still doesn't do at least a public outcry every single time Julius, who now on purpose every week, it seems, is singing that song to irritate us. And what does Cyril say? It is constitutional. It went to court. It was found not to be hate speech. Now, Chris, there we are with this man who sits and speaks one thing to the Oval Office and one thing to the public of South Africa. And this should not be allowed. This should not be a Donald Trump awakening. This should be a South African shame. And we should not stop by continuing to ensure that the people know that this song, although sung as a struggle song, has got absolutely implications in today's life. And I expect more from the president. If I was Kali Kriel, if I was the people, I would say, okay, fine, it's now gone to the Constitutional Court. Then we should get a couple of people together and go to the International Criminal Court of Justice and go put down our case, just like this government did it against Israel. And I would take it that far to do that. Because at the end of the day, I was part of that struggle. We sang a lot of songs. But even I today would absolutely be ashamed if I had to sing it in modern day, because I understand the ramifications.
Well, Neil, meanwhile, he is also doubling down on BEE. Maybe we should contrast Black Economic Empowerment and Afrikaner Empowerment. He seems to think the two are analogous.
Yeah, he starts his discussion about BEE and the protection of these laws, which I emphatically am against, because it didn't work. And he starts a talk last week in Parliament by saying, you know, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, it baffles my mind. Well, you know, Chris, a lot baffles Cyril's mind, seemingly. There's not much that doesn't baffle his mind. He says what baffles his mind is that it is seemingly okay that this country wants to see non-white people as laborers, as people pushing wheelbarrows, as people that are blue-collar workers. Says he, who's a billionaire. And Chris, I looked at this man and I went, is this it? This is the defense of a critical labor law, which is as, can I call it, anti-business, anti-economy growth as what you can get. I'll tell you, Chris, what baffles my mind is that when he refers to the period in apartheid, which I and you lived through, which we very much know, and in a big way we turned on it because it was humanitarianly not right. But Chris, I will remind you that in the apartheid era, when the white companies built Sanlam, Volkskas, Sambo, Old Mutual, etc., that they built it over a period of 50 years and they actually built it to be striving, economically solid companies and actually companies that employed and bolstered the economy of this country to an economic giant, which South Africa was. And now, Chris, you've got this president who gets up, who was sent from politics to make money, and I'll get to that little piece, and they say that we should give the black opportunity as well. You've had 30 years. But not only in 30 years did we not build new Sanlams and new Old Mutuals. No, we've destroyed them. We've destroyed the basic SOE component of this country, whom, by the way, were equaling the private enterprise. So I'm baffled in my brain as a person who can at least admit that a couple of companies, some of them successful and some of them failed, that I understand what is income and expenditure, what it takes to run a company. But in this country, in the past 30 years with BEE, triple BEEE, and now a 100 billion fund, over 30 years, what do we have to show for it, Chris? Well, a collapsed economy, a more than 40% unemployment rate, a law that is trying to actually create more corruption and looting through its own system, SOEs that are bankrupt, the post office demanding another 400 million just to survive and send what bloody letters to whom. And Chris, he turns around and says, it baffles his mind. Well, Mr. Ramaphosa, what really baffles my mind is that you are still in presidency. And we hope to God that very soon you are gone and we get someone at least that understands that the matters that baffle our mind is the looting, the theft, the corruption, and the reverse of our economy.
Talking about the economy, Neil, it looks like the Minister of Mineral and Petroleum Resources has given investors the middle finger.
Fuck, it's another baffling of my mind. I mean, there you get a person like Gwede Mantashe, who currently is the chairperson of this ANC, and who, by the way, Chris, yesterday went into a community and was thrown out by this community on a video circulating and told to leave because of his arrogance and the refusal to speak and answer questions of the same community that voted for him. And the best is there's Gwede, who you can't understand on a normal day, saying that if they don't invite him for a formal meeting, he won't speak to the people. But I love the way that this one man was saying, you've come here with government cars, you've come here with government money, and you don't want to talk to us, so you must leave. Sanguine. Now, this man that's got a larger girth than a Boeing 747 Airbus now comes and sits there as the Minister of Mining, who, my opinion, doesn't know the difference between quartz and erks and a diamond and glass, stands and now he's going to proudly bring out a new interaction of mining capability and a bill, who we now hear, Chris, is not going to open our economy into investment of mining, but it's also going to go the baffling of brain of our honorable president to make it even more difficult to get partnerships invest into mining, which, by the way, Chris, has always been one of our bastions of economic society. And you can only imagine how the world is going to look at one of the countries that has the most unbelievable access to minerals, now being locked out by bringing in more stricter investment laws. Chris, we should be rolling out red carpets, not red tape. And I fear, again, a failure is coming because of the incompetency of the people that we've got running our ministries.
Now, meanwhile, our erstwhile opposition, the Democratic Alliance, is pursuing one court case after another, Neil.
Yeah. Chris, we might as well not have a parliament. We might as well not have a matter where we've got an opposition, because let you and I agree, for the English word, umpteen time, that there is a total broken arrow in the matter of keeping the ANC into check. Now, let's discuss that. We have spoken about the fact that the African National Congress, and now I'm going to use a couple of words. The ANC is a governmental institution that is, at this current moment, operating without a national mandate. Chris, in any meeting that I have had the privilege, and you've had been the presence of being the chair or being present, we always asked for a quorum. When you go to a meeting, you cannot have a meeting that is officially constituted if you don't have something called a quorum. A quorum, Chris, just to rely on our own verbiage, is that the quorum substitutes a specific amount of people that make up the majority of that meeting. And once they are present, you are quorate. And that means the meeting can go on. Normally, Chris, it's 50 plus one. That is the normal meeting quorum standard. This government doesn't have a quorum. There's not a singular party in this country that received the right to establish itself on a 50 plus one quorum mandate. So we have a current government that had to add outside entities to reach a quorum to govern. So in my opinion, they are not a legitimate government, because not one party could make a 50 plus one, but because the law says if they go and hunker and get a couple of other mates, then they can make the pudding. But when you do so, Chris, then we were told that the GNU has an absolute methodology. It even has, according to Helen, this mechanism if they fall out and if they need to go into this room. And she, by herself admission, said a couple of weeks ago, it doesn't work because the ANC is in Kukulalale. The ANC has gone and sat under a tree in Durban and inhaled that poison. They are absolutely still thinking they are the boss. Now, the way that the GNU configures itself, Chris, is not to lambaste the ANC of 40%, not to take them on, not to challenge them in their mechanisms. It is dead because it survives currently because it's in cabinet together. And now the way that the DA, Chris, the DA is trying to remain one foot in opposition and one foot in governance, is it's decided to go to court. Can you imagine a country that has to ask on its policies, its laws, its future governance to a court of law every single time? So shut parliament, Chris. let's shut it. Let's appoint a couple of people that represent provinces. And then we have court case after court case to establish which way we are going. That is most malman. That, but surely that cannot be in Cyril's word. That boggles my mind. So, Chris, we are now in court to understand what is the effect of the taking land without compensation. Then we're going to go to court to contest the BEE matter. We are going to go to court for NHI. We are going to go to court for gun laws. We're going to go to court for security. Go to court, go to court, go to court. Then, Chris, why did we have an election? Yes. And that is what I am looking back and going. We cannot run the future of this country on a draconian party that was rejected by the populace, still demanding to make the rules and the laws, and tell the rest of them, toe the line or leave. And Chris, this is the repetitiveness you and I are having. And I'm putting it out there. We are not being repetitive because we have nothing else to talk about. This is serious. This is gobsmacking. And I'm sitting back and I'm going, the head of the Hawks is retiring. He is leaving his office. Soon, Ms. Baloyi will also be leaving the NPA. State institutions that were there to bring justice, and Chris, not to just justice of criminals, but justice to the people who are supposed to lay down the law and protect us as citizens, are walking free. And that's why when someone said to me, but is Cyril guilty of corruption, Neil? I said, is he? I can't make that statement, but what I can tell you is, if there's a traffic cop, Chris, that takes money from a person, then the traffic cop and the person paying the bribe, they are both guilty. And here's the worst. What if the traffic chief knows that that traffic cop takes money? Is he part of the corruptive system or is he not? And that was my question when this man blatantly said that Cyril is not corrupt. I said, sir, I cannot tell you if he is or not, but I'll tell you one thing now. As the senior chief executive of this country, the president is de facto the head of government and therefore responsible and accountable for everything. It's just a fact that the DA and the Freedom Front and the rest of the people in the GNU are not keeping them and him accountable, and therefore we as the citizens are sitting in a canoe going up the stream and hearing the thunder of the waterfall.
And a second group of Afrikaners has arrived in America.
Yeah, without fanfare, without pictures, without suitcases. And that boggled my mind, because we're using that word a lot, is that at the end of the day, the people are going to leave if they want to leave, and the people are going to stay who want to stay. Why was there no fanfare about the second, and now I heard the third group is approved? It's because mission was accomplished day one. I think there was a little bit of naughtiness from the American government that leaked it so that they could get the first group under Donald's invitation on camera. That now happened, and they went with massive fanfare. We had each one of them now nitpicked that this guy wasn't a farmer, he was a mechanic, and this guy there. And now, one by one, Chris, the people that are not feeling that they are safe, that they don't have a future, are now going without fanfare. And that is still, in my humble opinion, the saddest migration that this country has seen in such a long time. Because I will put all of that at the door of the African National Congress's way of treating their own citizens, and Chris, not just white, not just black, colored, or Indian, but generally South Africans in this country.
Just over to an new political party, the Islamic State of Africa, applying for registration, apparently to many objections, Neil.
Tausis Murtu. I mean, you let the door in, the whole people come in, and you know what they say about tequila, Chris. It never comes in one. You know, it's like, how do we get to a point in this country where, and this is apparently, Chris, and I'm going to dig for it, where we get fundamentalists in this country because they declare themselves as fundamentalists, have the right to come in. And I'm going to be very clear here. There is a Muslim party in this country called Al-Jamaa. There's a Christian party in this country called the ACDP. So we're not talking about the people that say that a religious conclave has the right to actually enter politics. We've had that for years. But this one, Chris, seems to be a little bit different. It seems to be based on the basis of fundamentalism. In other words, fanatic. And in our country's democracy and in our dispensation, it seems they're going to get it. And if we allow, in my opinion, the continuation of fundamental groups that are either far right or far left, that don't now come in on a political or racial ticket, but a religious one. Because we better put a spotlight on that, and we better be very, very careful that we don't become a house within another part of the world that will create a problem for ourselves. Again, nothing to do with the faith, nothing to do with the religion, absolutely to do with the fundamentalist thinking of what they want to achieve, and that is going to be unacceptable. So we'll give a feedback on that and watch it in a very big tone. And Chris, when you look at all of this conspiring, it shows you what a big year 2026 is going to bring, and the continual strife, the continual problems that MK face within his leadership. I now notice, Chris, that they have a new chief whip. They have let gone the other one. And Ms. Makubane, who was the speaker of the Joburg City Council, is now the new chief whip of the MK party in Parliament. And that should bring a new shift, because I know her, and she's not a person that is known to keep her mouth shut for anything radical at the end of the day. So a lot of shifting within the political realm, and an update, Chris, on our DA progress, rumor, segment of chiming of the bells within the passages. We are getting a bit of a heat up going. We are getting a little bit of discussion on the elections next year, the possible conference that they would need to go through on leadership. And Chris, apparently a couple of hands being put up already, some of them known, some of them not known. So maybe next Sunday, Chris, let's have a little bit of a walkie walk. Remember Barbara Hoodhouse? I never forget walkies. Let's have a bit of a walkies next Sunday onto the possibilities of who will lead the DA to the future.
Lastly, Neil, justice being such an elusive concept in South Africa these days, the trio involved in little Jocelyn's disappearance got life sentences. Wasn't that...
Yeah, Chris, justice a bitter pull served. I think the frustrating thing here, because I watched this weekly, may I, though, compliment an amazing judge, a person that, Judge Nathan Erasmus, I've made it my solemn mission in life to meet him, even if it's just to take his hand. Because he is the epitome of what I would like to see as a judge. A human, a person with humanity, dignity. He had absolutely decorum. He was calm. He steered that very difficult case as such a professional. He is an accolade to us. I hope one day a judge president will come from him. Chris, the worst thing is we don't know We don't know where she is. I'm talking about Jocelyn. We don't know if she's alive or if she is dead. The hunt for Jocelyn, as I now understand, will continue. But those three people, the conceptualization of evil, Chris. A mother selling the child without care, without conscience, at times laughing with her two co-accused. So the life sentence for what they call human trafficking was given to all three, and an extra 10 years loaded on top of life for kidnapping, which is of no concern because life is life. And Chris, I really hope in this matter, life is life. It won't bring Jocelyn back, but what it will do is, I think this time, Chris, the prosecuting authority did well. The outcome was given, and I think justice served.
Indeed. I mean, it was good to see.
Yeah, sorry, it was a good. No, it was a good outcome. And what we're also seeing, Chris, is the continual, and I don't know if you've noticed, spike in police deaths. What I'm talking about is in the past week again, in Gauteng, in KZN, police getting into gunfights and more than 8 or 9 assailants dying under gunfire. I think again, our favorite police commissioner has made it clear that he will not allow the breaking of the law and people taking the law into their own hands by firing at the police. It's the same kind of analogy. The stiff sentence of these people that are at the helm of the destruction of a beautiful little child, and the people in this country that think they can just do what they want. So the law, I hope, will increase its perpetuity of being just and being right for us as citizens.
Indeed. Thank you. That was Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, on his Sunday show with Biz News and me, Chris Stain. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks, Chris. And hopefully next week I'll have a bit of makeup and I would look a little bit better. But going in for the operation tomorrow, to put in the port for the chemo and then Friday chemo again. But I want to say something, Chris, if I may. The amount of people that carry you, the amount of people that every week send you messages of just saying nothing about the show, just about your life. I want to say it is because of you. I say it a lot, but I mean it. That I can get up and fight this fight because, Chris, it's not my fight. It's not your fight. It is a just fight to bring truth and the real truth to the public every Sunday. And what a privilege it is. So thank you very much. And Godspeed. And again, to Andre and his family and to all of those, may God rest and bring peace over yourself. Thanks, Chris.